You're listening to the trial of Kelsey Fitzsimmons from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Sir, I just had a couple more questions for you. The firearm that you used on the 30th, what happened to it after you left the residence?
So I secured the scene, and then once more officers showed up, they relieved me, and the chief had me walk with him to his car, and he took my firearm and he gave me his.
You talked about Kelsey Fitzsimmons. Do you see her in the courtroom today?
I do.
Can you point to her and describe an article of clothing that she's wearing?
She's wearing a sweater.
May the record reflect she has identified the defendant.
Yes, it may.
Thank you. I have nothing else.
Okay. Cross-examination.
May I inquire, Your Honor?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Before we get into the case, I'm looking at your glasses. Are those glasses AI recording type glasses?
No.
Okay, so you're not recording anything right
Absolutely
now?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's go to June 30th at Kelsey Fitzsimmons' house. What time did you get there?
I think right around 6 or 5:30, 6 o'clock.
The upshot of that visit was that when you got there, you didn't secure the firearms, did you?
No, we didn't.
And you, collectively, meaning the three of you, you brought the guy getting the restraining order to the person he claims he's in fear of, correct?
I wasn't aware that Justin was en route. That was Lieutenant Daly when he made arrangements with Justin.
So you're saying finish your answer.
Justin I. Allen.
That was not your part of this incident?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, and you're saying that
excuse me one moment. Mr. Prado, can you hold on 1 second?
Sure.
I want the jury box to be empty, so I just want to have the gentleman move.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, sir. We'll make room for you.
Thank you.
And just 1 second, Mr. Prado. All set, Mr. Bradell. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you. So, when did you become aware that Justin Elaine was coming to the house?
I wasn't aware.
Did you see him at all when you were there?
No.
You were aware that he came in and was walking around the house?
No.
You were not?
No.
Okay. You go upstairs with Kelsey and with Officer Houston, correct?
Yep.
Officer Houston leaves to see who's coming in downstairs?
There was an older woman that was causing a scene with Lieutenant Daly and...
The question was, did Houston go downstairs?
He did, to mitigate what was going on downstairs is what my belief was.
Okay. And you were with Kelsey when she was, she had gone into her bedroom, correct?
Yes.
Then you went down the stairs to see what was going on.
No.
You took some steps down the stairs, didn't you?
I did not.
Your testimony is that you stayed on that landing?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't it true you left Kelsey alone in that room for a period of time?
No.
Okay. You're serving an order on someone who's your colleague, correct?
Correct.
Okay. It's fair to say that this restraining order service isn't exactly going by the book, is it?
And from my past experience, it is.
Well, the guns are floating around out there.
Kelsey had stated the guns were downstairs in the basement and safe.
I didn't ask you what she stated, did I?
Continue.
Thank you. So, the guns are still floating around. You're serving a colleague. The guy comes to the house who's got the order. It's fair to say this isn't exactly a garden variety service of a restraining order, is it?
Oh, that's inaccurate.
It's inaccurate?
Yes.
Okay. And this is just another day for you?
No, it's not.
So, in fact, you were working, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You get a call from Houston.
Yes.
He tells you what the plan is, correct?
Yes, he said that...
He didn't ask you what he said.
Okay.
He told you what the plan is, correct?
No. He asked me to meet up with him.
He told you that Kelsey's ex-fiance got a restraining order and that you had to serve it, get her firearms, and get the baby, didn't he?
Not on the phone, no.
And you said to Houston on the phone, whatever he said to you, your answer was, sounds good, right?
No.
That's not what you said.
I don't remember what I said to him.
Okay. Well, that's what you told the grand jury, isn't it?
Objection.
Okay, overruled.
Misstating what he told the grand jury.
Well, you can restate during redirect.
We'll get to all that, Your Honor. We'll circle back on all this.
And I prefer that both sides show a witness what they're referring to when they're trying to...
I will, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I want to ask you some questions about your relationship with Kelsey.
Sure.
You said that you didn't know her well.
That's correct.
And you said that she was on maternity leave most of the time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you also said that you got along well with her, right?
For the time, I think we went to one or two calls together. Other than that, I worked a completely different shift. So we got along when we went to calls, yes.
Did you get along well with her or not?
Yeah.
And did you think well of her?
I really didn't have an opinion. I didn't have a chance to really get to know her.
Well, do you know Maureen Teresi, your neighbor?
Maureen Teresi.
You gave her your opinion of Kelsey, didn't you?
I don't remember.
You called her a whack job, didn't you?
I don't recall.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bradle. I missed the question. Mm-hmm. Can you state
sure.
that again?
So I asked... him if he knew Miss Maureen Teresi, his neighbor.
Okay.
And I said that he gave his opinion of Kelsey to his neighbor, okay. And that he called her a whack job. And then you right. can answer again, sir. What was your answer?
I don't recall.
You don't recall?
I don't.
Is it possible you called her a whack job to your neighbor?
Well, it's possible.
So that's what you really think about Kelsey, isn't it, that she's a whack job?
After she tried to kill me.
And at the time, you went in there loaded for bear, didn't you?
No.
Well, let's see. You told the state police that the job was to section her, didn't you?
It was spoken about that if she reacts badly during the restraining order, she may have to get sectioned.
Well, you that's what you said, that you had pre-planned that you were going to section her.
It wasn't pre-planned.
The job was to section her. Isn't that what you said?
No, that's inaccurate.
So, hold on one sec. Let me just go through some ground rules. You need to wait until the question's complete because we can't have two folks talking over one another.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks very much. Go ahead, Mr. Bradle.
And also, you raised quite a lot of concerns about where Kelsey parked her car, correct?
Yes.
And you suggested at one point that you could box her in and take her into custody with respect to the car, right?
Yes.
So you were thinking that she was going to need to be sectioned, that she was a whack job, and that she needed to be boxed in and placed into custody, right?
Action.
I'm asking about a state of mind, Your Honor.
He has testified that he thought she was a whack job before he went there.
Overruled.
Those are all things that were in your mindset, weren't they?
No.
Well, you said them, right?
No, that's inaccurate.
Sectioning her?
It was brought up by my lieutenant that she may have to be sectioned.
And you told the state police that part of the job was to section her?
If she were to be sectioned.
You didn't say that part to the state police, did you?
I don't recall.
Okay, well, we'll go over all this, don't worry.
Okay.
And so, with respect to the car, you testified in such a manner that you're suggesting that there was some suspicion attached to that, right?
Can you rephrase?
Yeah, you're suspicious of the fact that she parked the car 150 yards away, you said.
Yes.
So, your mindset is that she's evading something or she's up to something?
Well, my training and experience, the distance of where she parked her car from her house and having a baby, and also her behavior in the past where her car was always parked in the driveway, was...
So you didn't know her very well.
I knew where she lived, and I patrol the town, so I have to drive by her house.
So she parks in the school next to her house?
Yes.
What are you thinking she's going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what her mindset was.
So you're speculating about any suspicion that's attached to that parking job, right?
I was just suspicious about that.
So she's in the house. You know she's in the house.
No, I don't.
You go to the house. You knock on the door. Daly knocks on the door. She comes out like a regular mom. Holding the baby, wearing sweats. Hair's probably in a ponytail. Opens the door.
Yes.
Right? So at that point, do you let go of your suspicions about where she parked the car?
I was still curious as to why she parked her car over 150 yards away.
Well, you're looking at it through your own lens as an investigator. Isn't it possible that there's 100 other possibilities in her life that maybe she parked there for some other reason?
Could be. I don't know. Again, I don't know what her mindset was.
So you go in there, and you are the only officer who has tactical gloves on when you go in there, correct?
They're neoprene gloves, yes.
So you're ready for anything, right?
It's past practice with me after working in Lawrence for so long. I tend to glove up for sanitary reasons. I knew we were going to have to handle her firearms, so I didn't want to get any of my prints or anything on them.
But you said you took them off fairly quickly when you got in there.
Yes.
And at what point did you take them off?
Right before she handed me the baby.
So you hadn't yet touched the firearms and you took them off. So that plan about not getting your prints on the firearms didn't pan out, did it?
I didn't want to hold the baby with those gloves. They're pretty dirty.
And while we're talking about holding the baby, it's fair to say that Kelsey Fitzsimmons, with three cops standing there, had her baby, and she's the one that chose to give it to you. Isn't that right? You didn't ask for it. Daly didn't order her to give it to you. She, with whatever her mindset was, chose you to take her baby. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And she chose you to take a bottle and feed her baby, right?
That's correct.
And then this is 5 minutes before you say she tries to murder you, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you said that you felt that the baby couldn't be comfortable because you had your vest on. So it wasn't comfortable and you wanted to give the baby off to someone else, right?
Is that that's correct.
Fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not what you said prior, is it?
Well, I like to have my hands free as well. I don't like my hands tied up.
That's what you said the last time, right? That when you spoke with the state police that you didn't like having anything in your hands, and it was really a tactical reason why you gave the baby up, right?
No, it wasn't a tactical. I just didn't want to be holding the baby.
Isn't it tactical that you want to have your hands free to deal with anything you have to deal with at this?
I want to have my hands free on every call.
What's wrong with the word tactical? Why isn't that tactical?
Can you rephrase that?
What's wrong with the word tactical?
There's nothing wrong with that.
So why doesn't it apply? Because I said it?
I'm sure it could apply.
I'll strike that, Your Honor. Why doesn't it apply?
I'm sure it could apply. Sure.
So for tactical reasons, you gave up the baby. But that's not what you said here at this trial, is it?
I don't recall what you... Can you rephrase that?
Well, here at the trial, you said that the baby couldn't have been comfortable and you wanted to give the baby off, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you didn't say anything about wanting to keep your hands free for tactical reasons, right?
It wasn't asked.
You were asked what happened repeatedly, and you had every opportunity to talk about it, didn't you?
Sure.
And you left it out.
Not on purpose.
We'll see.
Mr. Bredo, comment like that isn't helpful, please.
Sorry, Your Honor. Motion to strike.
You're moving to strike your own comment?
I am.
It's allowed. and it's very forthright of you.
Just have a moment.
Yeah, take your time.
Something about your grand jury testimony that we alluded to. So your testimony here was that you didn't get the whole plan from Officer Houston on the phone, right?
That's correct.
And my suggestion that your answer about the thing in sort of a matter-of-fact way was, okay, sounds good. And you disagree that you said that, right?
I don't disagree. I just don't recall.
You don't recall?
Yeah, what I said.
So, isn't it true that you were asked, page 36, who did you get a call from? Officer Houston. And what was that call about? Was the next question. And your answer was, he had asked me if Lieutenant Daly reached out to me. I said no. Officer Houston said, hey, can you meet me at the CCC, which is a little grade school behind the Atkinson School? He said, we have to serve papers to Officer Kelsey. I said, okay, sounds good. And I drove over to that location and met up with him, right? And sure. You knew those papers were a restraining order for Kelsey to give up the baby, give up her guns, lose her job,
I had
brought by her fiance, right?
I had no idea what was entailed in the restraining order at that time.
At what point did you learn the job here?
As far as the restraining order?
As far as this job you were going to do at Kelsey's house.
What job?
The restraining order service, taking the baby, finding the guns.
When I met up with...
Affectioning her,
Officer
boxing her in.
When I met up with custody. Officer Houston.
Don't talk when I'm talking, sir. Box. Sorry.
Let's not argue back and forth. And just ask your questions. You just wait to answer until he's done. If you can restate, thank you.
Sure. So you asked me what the job was. So my suggestion is that the job is serving the restraining order, going to get the baby, finding the guns. Mm-hmm. You thought about boxing her in and taking her into custody. You thought about sectioning her. That job.
When I met up with Officer Houston behind the CCC.
And at that point, you knew what you were getting into, right?
After he explained what was going on, and we were pretty shocked.
In all of the statements you've made prior to being here yesterday and today, You've never said that you were pretty shocked about anything, have you?
I don't recall.
You weren't shocked. You were treating this like a video game, weren't you?
No.
Well, your first answer is, sounds good, like it's any other day, right?
As to meeting up with them behind the CCC. Yep, sounds good. See you there.
Sounds good to meet up. Okay. Let's talk about the bedroom and the shots that you fired. Here in court, you said that those shots were in rapid fire.
Rapid succession, yes. Okay.
And like a boom, boom?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's not what you said to the state police, though, is it?
That was 8 months ago, right around there. I don't recall. I said I shot twice, possibly.
You told the state police that you pulled the trigger. This is 12:32 in audio. You told the police that you pulled the trigger once. You said the word once. And then you said, I kept giving commands. And then you said, I pulled the trigger again. That's a completely different scenario than two shots in rapid succession, isn't it?
As far as the time frame, I was trying to recall the event as best as possible. But, you know, rapid succession, you pull the trigger, pull it again. Yes, I pulled it twice.
So that was July 3rd, right after this incident, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
So it's fair to say that talking then is, it's right after the incident, and now you're here in court. Both of those propositions can't be true, can they?
I'm sorry, what?
The proposition, I'll rephrase it here. The proposition that you said here in court, that you made two shots in rapid succession.
Yes.
And what you said on July 3rd, one shot, giving some commands, another shot. Both of those things can't be true, can they?
They can be true.
They can be true.
Yes.
So rapid succession, and then what? You talk really fast before the second shot?
Oh, I was given commands. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm asking you about this particular passage, this particular thing. Here you said you made two shots in rapid succession.
Yes.
You painted a different picture on July 3rd, didn't you?
No.
You shot, you gave commands, mm-hmm. and then you shot again.
That's
how can that be rapid succession?
Because that's how it went in rapid succession.
You disagreed with me that it was a boom, boom.
Yes.
So where's the time for the commands between the shots?
As I'm yelling them.
Well, that's not what you said. You said you pulled the trigger once. I kept giving commands. I pulled the trigger again.
Yes.
So they're two different assertions, aren't they?
No.
Okay. You gave a statement on July 3rd to the state police, right? A recorded statement?
Yes.
You testified yesterday and today. What was your preparation like for this case? To come in here and testify?
I met up with Mr. Gubitosi, Attorney Gubitosi.
How many times?
I believe twice.
And when were those meetings?
One was recently, I think last Thursday, And the one before, I can't remember.
And when did you start prepping your testimony?
On this past Thursday.
Well, you probably started prepping your testimony about 5 minutes after the shooting, didn't you?
No.
When was the first time you were questioned about what happened?
I think July 3rd.
So everyone left you alone until July 3rd?
Yes.
When you were upstairs with Kelsey, she kept giving you things and asking you to take them downstairs, didn't she?
That's correct.
And she did that with Houston as well, right?
Yes.
So it's fair to say that she was trying to get you away from her, right?
I don't know what her mindset was. I wasn't going to leave her alone.
Sure, let me ask you a better question. The effect of that would have been, if you took things downstairs, that you would have left her.
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
That's not consistent with her trying to kill you, is it? She's trying to get rid of you.
Overall.
Can you ask that question again?
The fact that she's trying to remove you from the area where her gun is not consistent with her trying to kill you, is it?
At that point, no.
So let's get into the incident here, what you say happened. You say that Kelsey went into her bedroom after being in the baby's room, correct?
Yes.
She, you don't go in the room, right?
No, I stayed at the very top of the stairs, right before the door frame.
So it's fair to say you're on the landing, the top of the stairs, looking into the room.
That's correct.
And the room's got a lot of furniture in it, a lot of things everywhere, right?
Yes.
So you say that Kelsey has a change in her demeanor, right?
Yes.
She starts to shake and get upset. Shaking uncontrollably, you said, right?
Yes.
Then she lunges.
Yes.
She's on her knees?
She was, I believe, on her right knee.
Said that she pushed off her left leg and lunged. Right?
Yes.
And at the time, you were 3 feet away from her.
Yes.
Maybe less.
Maybe.
So can we agree that's arm's length?
She was a little further away than arm's length, I would say.
So arm's length, if you reach over, maybe. How about
yes.
That? And your testimony is that she lunges over and obtains a gun.
Yes.
Right. And she assumes a certain stance.
Can you elaborate?
Well, you were there. What stance did she assume?
She pointed a gun at my face and pulled the trigger.
And yesterday when you were being questioned, you assumed a two-handed stance to show that, didn't you?
That's correct.
And what do you call that kind of a stance?
I don't know.
Like a modified Weaver stance?
Yes.
So she assumes a modified Weaver stance. Can you stand up and a modified Weaver stance? Yeah. That's just what it's called.
Okay.
Can you demonstrate to us what a modified Weaver stance looks like?
Do you want me to stand up and show you?
Sure. So are you asking him just in general?
Just to show the stance in general first. Yes, Jess. Thank you.
So she grabs it, comes up, pulls the trigger.
I don't think that's what he was asking you.
So just what's the modified Weaver stance? What is it?
There.
And can you describe it? What are you doing when you do a modified Weaver stance?
Strong side. All right. So if I'm a righty, this is my strong side. That's going to grab the pistol, and I use my support hand to support the weapon.
Are you righty?
I'm sorry?
Are you righty?
I am.
You can have a seat. Thank
Thanks.
You. And you're saying that Mr. Fitzsimmons had the gun in that kind of a stance?
Yes.
And how far was the gun away from your face?
It was right outside of arm's length.
So she's 3 feet away. She assumes the modified Weaver stance, so she's probably another foot or two towards you, right?
She stepped to the left. I don't know if she stepped towards me.
Well, your testimony was that she immediately lifted the gun to you and
yes.
pulled the trigger and tried to shoot you right in the face.
Yes.
So the gun didn't go off.
No.
And there she is with the gun there. The guns didn't go off, and you're within feet of her and the gun that didn't go off, right?
That's correct.
And you didn't just grab her, did you?
No, I was in complete shock. And then she started backpedaling immediately and trying to tap and rack that weapon.
Right. So your testimony is that Kelsey goes from a wounded bird shaking uncontrollably to a female movie action hero, doesn't she?
Those aren't my words.
That's your description of what happened, isn't it?
I didn't describe that either.
So she gets the gun. She tries to murder you in the face.
Yes.
5 minutes after she has her feeder baby.
Yes.
She pulls the trigger, nothing happens.
Yes, it went click.
She stands up, right?
She was already standing.
So as she's standing, she tries to shoot you in the face?
Yes, and then she started to backpedal.
So first she backpedals. Then she sidesteps, she tap racks again, right?
Yes.
So in all this time, this is like the longest tap rack in history, isn't it?
It's 4 seconds.
So she gets up, she sidestep first or backpedal first?
Backpedals.
So she backpedals first.
And then sidestep. I would say maybe 4 or 5, and then maybe another 3, 4, 5 to her left, which is my right.
So she goes into action. Is she tapping the magazine and then racking the gun while she's moving around?
Yes, she's a well-trained police officer.
Who's a whack job?
Who tried to kill me.
So, let's get the order straight. You said that she backpedals first.
Yes, after she pulled the trigger.
And nothing happens.
Yes.
And then she taps the magazine.
Yes.
And then racks the slide.
I believe her hand slipped off. That's when she went in, and I was given her commands, don't do it. And she re-racked and started to bring her right arm up.
And then she does it again, right?
Yes.
And you actually have no idea whether she successfully racked it the first time or successfully racked it the second time, correct?
That's correct.
You don't know what happened.
No, I don't.
And so it takes a few seconds to take 4 or 5 or whatever steps back towards the air conditioner, right?
From beginning to end, once she pulled the gun on me and pulled the trigger, and by the time I shot her, it was right around 4 seconds total, if not 3.5. It was very fast.
So she goes from shaking uncontrollably, sad about her situation, crying, to being pretty nimble.
She wasn't crying.
She walks, she backpedals, you said, right?
That's correct.
Then she sidesteps.
Yes.
To the air conditioner. And You had a look of panic on your face at that time, didn't you?
No.
You were flustered, weren't you?
No.
Well, you were in shock 5 minutes later, weren't you?
After the incident and my adrenaline dumped, I was in shock then.
So, at the time, getting back to the incident, Kelsey's by the air conditioner. She's backpedaled, she's sidestepped, mm-hmm. She tapped, she racked, she tapped, she racked. And then you shoot her.
Yes.
And you shot two shots. Where are we on the rapid succession? Which one do you want to go with? Rapid succession, or you shot, gave commands, and shot again? Which is it?
I was given commands and shooting at the same time.
Okay. Well, your prior testimony was that you shot, you pulled the trigger, gave commands, and you pulled the trigger again.
Yes.
So was it that, or was it boom, boom, rapid succession?
It all happened in 4 seconds or less.
So you're a very well-trained SWAT officer, yes?
Yes.
You're a firearms instructor?
No.
You're a patrol instructor. Where you instruct officers on the job, right?
Field training officer.
Field training officer.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this for 25 years?
No.
20 years?
Right around there, yes.
Okay. So you've been doing this for 20 years. And one of your thought processes was that you wanted to give your training and experience back to the North Andover PD where you started, right?
Yes, and come back where I started.
And here, your first shot, you missed her from about 7 feet away.
I did. It was longer than 7 feet. It was, at that point, about 15 feet.
15 feet.
I would say.
Do you have any measurements on this?
No, but if you remove the bed and you were to walk diagonal from where I shot, it was probably around 15.
So the first shot you missed her and you hit the air conditioner. Is that right?
I didn't know where it went.
Okay. And the fact is that we have only one spent projectile in this case, right?
I'm sorry?
We only have one spent projectile in this case, correct?
I don't know what state police collected.
You weren't curious as to any of the paperwork or anything that happened in the case?
I believe they told me that there was one on the bed and one on the floor, I think. But I don't know where that one projectile comes from.
Did you know that there was one in the curtain next to the air conditioner?
No.
Have you looked at any photos from this at all?
Some, yes.
Did you know that?
Nope.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Just the photo.
Yes.
Do you have some? Thank you, sir.
Get for it.
All right, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to show you for the record. Exhibit 49, sir. See that?
Yes, that's the entrance to her bedroom.
And is that a fair and accurate depiction of kind of the stuff that was there at the time?
I didn't see any of that at the time because I was facing forward. That's a completely different angle.
Well, that's the area where you say that she lunged to, right?
There, yes. To that would have been my left.
Yep. Now, at some point, there was a safe there, wasn't there? A green safe.
I have no idea what was there.
Didn't you speak with Officer Core at the scene?
Yes, I did.
And Officer Core You said that you ordered him to do something. You remember that?
I did.
You ordered him to take the gun and get it out of there?
Secure it.
And what were you doing at the time you ordered him to do that?
Rendering aid to Kelsey Fitzsimmons.
So you're over by the bed. He would have had to go in that area to get the firearm and secure it, right?
So the I placed the firearm. You can't see the right side of the door frame. So if you were to walk into that bedroom and look right, there's some sort of, I don't know, nightstand or something. I put the weapon right there.
I show you Exhibit 75. Is this the...
The white... Yes, that's it.
Is that where you put the firearm?
On top of that.
Now, let's just...
I'm sorry, that's exhibit what?
75, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yep. So, let's talk about who touched the firearm. So, Daly picks up the firearm, right?
Yes.
And the firearm was under Kelsey's leg, correct?
I don't know where it was. I was covering down. I know he flipped her over and found the weapon. I don't recall where it was.
Okay. You heard, sorry. So your testimony is that Kelsey's racking the gun, sidestepping, backpedaling, tap rack. And at some point she points the gun at you, right?
Her arm started to come up towards me.
Okay. So it's fair to say that she's back again, like we said earlier. She's starting to do this, right?
No Weaver stance.
Okay, so one hand?
It was.
Is that the FBI crouch? What do you call that?
Is it a one-handed?
Okay. It's not called the FBI crouch?
I've never heard that term.
Okay. So she starts to point the gun at you. So we agree then that the gun is out in front of her, right?
It was in the upward position. It was coming up towards me. When I fired my second round, I saw her kind of buckle, and she lowered her weapon, and I stopped shooting, and then she went to the ground.
You hit her in the chest. Mm-hmm. She goes flying back and lands on her back, right?
She didn't go flying back.
She landed on her back, correct?
She went down to the ground. I don't know which way she went. I think she crouched over.
Well, you knew she was on her back, didn't you?
I don't remember. As far as that goes, that's kind of a blur.
So the idea that she's got the gun out in front of her, she falls on her back. If the gun's underneath her, is this some sort of a magic gun?
I don't know where you're getting at.
Doesn't it make sense that if the gun is out here and she's receives a force of a 9mm bullet, shooting her back this way, how does the gun get all the way behind her and under her leg?
I have no idea. It's the way she fell.
So, back to the notion of who touches the gun. Daly picks up the gun, right?
Yes.
Daly puts it on the bed, correct?
Yes.
And you don't like that?
I don't. It's too close to her.
Okay. Well, she's sitting there with a gunshot wound to her chest with you there and Daly there. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
So you touch the gun, right?
I do.
And then you move it to the white shelf, bookshelf.
Yes.
And then Core arrives. And
yes.
Then you tell Core to grab the gun and secure it. Right?
I do.
And then Core has it. Does he take it into the hallway?
Maybe. I remember just focusing my attention on Kelsey.
Sure. Understandable. So you're focusing on Kelsey, and you're giving her first aid?
Yes. Well, Lieutenant Daly was... starting to work on her.
Well, is it fair to say that at first you still had your gun on her, but then you helped with the first aid?
Yes.
Okay.
afterwards.
So that was your primary focus, was the once you felt that she was not a threat to you on your testimony, you started to assist with the first aid, right?
Yes.
And you and Daly are rendering first aid, and then Core comes, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you say, get that out of here, secure the gun.
Yep, make it safe.
Okay, so it's fair to say that Core does that, but your attention is not on what he's doing, it's on rendering first aid, right?
That's correct.
So you don't have any knowledge or observation of what Core did with the firearm, right?
No.
At some point, are you aware that Core takes the green safe and the firearm out into the hallway?
I didn't see him do any of that.
I'm going to show you Exhibit 51.
Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
So Exhibit 51 is the left side of the door frame where you say that Kelsey lunged, right?
That's correct.
Is that how it looked when she lunged over there?
I didn't see that when I was in the hallway.
Do you know anything about that shoebox with the orange lining?
I have no idea.
Do you remember seeing that chest with the brown leather trim on it?
I thought it was an end table when I walked out of the room.
Do you think that the gun came from any of those areas there?
With how quick she grabbed it, I think it came from that box, but I don't know.
Your Exhibit 36.
That's a picture of the stairway, right?
Yes.
It's pretty narrow.
Yes.
And you went up to the top and you were at that landing, right?
That's correct.
You never entered Kelsey's room?
No.
So you said that you were shocked that Kelsey was quickly grabbing a gun and putting it in your face?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you, that she'd gotten the drop on you, right?
Yes.
And at that point, you feared for your life, you say, right?
Absolutely.
And you panicked. And you shot her?
No.
Well, you missed her from just a few feet away.
It's hard to shoot a moving target or a moving, anything moving.
Are you aware of the Post Commission?
Yes.
And you know that the Post Commission has issued regulations that are in the Code of Massachusetts regulations?
Yes.
And you know that it's prohibited to use deadly force on a person who is exhibiting a danger only to themselves.
Absolutely.
And you knew that on June 30th, 2025, didn't you?
I've known that since I graduated the police academy in 2006, or even before.
Right. And you went in there thinking that Kelsey was dangerous and had guns and you might get into it, right?
That's inaccurate.
And that's why you had your gloves on, isn't it?
No.
You were ready to get wet?
No.
I'm sorry, ready to get what?
Get wet, Your Honor. And that's when you had to adjust the narrative, isn't that true?
No.
So you're going to maintain that you got into a gunfight with somebody who was your colleague, right?
Yes.
Who had just given you her baby to feed 5 minutes earlier.
Yes.
Of her own volition.
Yes.
She developed some sort of a homicidal animus towards you for what Justin Elaine just did to her, right?
I don't think it was unbeknownst to me. I didn't know Justin was in the house. I think I was standing in her way for her to get downstairs and kill Justin.
I assume this is in hindsight.
Hindsight, yep.
Fair enough. One moment, yeah, please, Mark.
Take your time.
Did you have a taser?
I did.
Did you think maybe to use the taser when she pulled the trigger and the gun didn't go off?
No. You meet deadly force with deadly force.
She's 3 feet away from you?
Yes.
Could have just grabbed her, couldn't you?
No.
And if there was deadly force, you wouldn't have stopped at 2 shots, would you? You would have emptied that magazine right into her.
I stopped when she stopped. And that's what I'm trying to do, stop the threat, not empty a mag.
What were some of the things that she asked you to bring downstairs?
I think there was a basket of books. And I believe some clothes. I think she put him in a car seat.
What did you say to her when she asked you to bring him downstairs?
I said, we'll deal with that later. And I put him down.
What was her reaction?
She just kept packing stuff.
So you said that you were you'd started your career in the North Andover Police Department, correct?
That's correct.
And you left for the Lawrence Police Department in what year?
2011.
And then you were on the SWAT team from 2019 to 2024, correct?
That's correct.
And that you left North Andover to get a faster pace, right? What do you mean by a faster pace?
Busier. Are you talking about when I left North Andover to go to Lawrence? Or
yes.
A busier atmosphere.
More action.
More calls for service.
More what, I'm sorry?
Calls for service.
Calls for service.
I wanted more experience.
And you were there for how long?
In Lawrence?
Yeah.
From 2011 to 2024.
You go back to North Andover, correct?
Yes.
And you said that you wanted to bring your training and experience back to where it all started, right?
Yes.
Meaning you wanted to offer officers at North Andover the benefit of your training and experience, correct?
Correct.
You said that you only have 10 years left, getting older, the slower pace is what's needed, right?
Yes.
So is it fair to say that the stress of a busy urban department was getting to you?
No.
Well, you did tell Kelsey that you had PTSD, didn't you?
Absolutely not.
So slower pace, and you just wanted to grace the department with your training and experience, correct?
Yes. Is
that right?
Yes.
Judge, I told counsel that I would ask for a sidebar before the next topic.
Sure. Let's go to sidebar.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, I want to ask you some questions about some of the treatment you've gotten by the North Andover Police Department since this incident.
Sure.
Okay. Now, after this incident, immediately after this incident, you were not drug tested by the town or the police department, correct?
No.
And you're aware that's a policy of the town?
That I don't know.
You don't know the town policy?
As far as the drug testing, no.
Now, you also are on critical incident leave right now, word to that effect, right?
Yes.
And that means that you're not able to perform the duties of a police officer for the time being, so you get put on leave, right?
Yes.
And yet, at the same time, you're being permitted to work as a police officer on paid details. Isn't that true?
Yes, that was our union.
Oh, it's just a yes or no question.
Yes.
And that is an accommodation that was made via a side. May I call you, Your Honor?
We've already gone past one question.
Yeah, okay. Sustained. Next question.
That is something that is not ordinarily permitted, is it?
No. You've gotten your answer. Okay, Mr. Cradle. Okay. Next question.
All right. Now, you also were absent without leave from a shift recently, correct?
Back in January, yep.
And with respect to that, there was a reprimand letter issued to you, correct?
That's correct.
And at first, that wasn't going to issue, was it?
Let me just hear the question. What I was really expecting was one long leading question each, but that's all right. You're breaking it up. Let me just hear the question, Officer Noonan. Please don't answer it until I hear it.
So
go ahead.
The question, Judge, is that reprimand letter that appeared in your file was originally not going to issue against you, was it?
All right. That's the question?
Yes.
Okay, and you're going to live with the answer?
Yes.
All right. Yes or no?
I have no idea. I was just called in one day to sign it.
Okay.
So I have no idea what, if it was or it was not.
All right. So,
that's all I have then, Your Honor.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
In that area, you're not done with cross, right? I'm assuming that you're
in that area, okay. Right. In terms of rewards, Judge, yes, that's all I have. Now, I want to circle back on a couple of things. You gave a recorded statement to the state police on July 3rd, correct?
Yes.
And we talked back and forth about your belief or your expressed intent to section her, and you said that wasn't the case, right?
Can you ask that again?
Yeah, you said that there was discussion about sectioning her, but that wasn't your thought process, or you didn't know about her or whatever, right?
When we discussed it, you know, behind the school, it was brought up that she may not take this well. She may have to get sectioned. She was sectioned prior. So
here you're saying that it was a speculative possibility. Is that fair to say?
It could have been a possibility depending on how she took the restraining order, respectfully.
Judge, if I may, I'd like to play a recording from the state police interview from July 3rd.
For impeachment purposes?
Yes.
All right, any objection? Okay, sure. You know, we should probably, we need to mark it for ID at least, unless you're seeking to admit it, but let's take it a step.
I'm just playing a prior consistent statement, Judge.
Okay. So we're going to have to mark it for ID. Do you have a mechanism to be able to do that? Is it on a thumb drive or something that can be marked? If you're not able to do so today, tomorrow morning, just please bring in the recording that's being played and we'll mark it.
Certainly.
Okay. All right.
Hanse had just taken out a restraining order and we were there to serve it, confiscate her firearms, and then we were going to section her.
So that's what you said on July 3rd, that we were going to section her, right?
Yes.
So at the time, you had it in your head that she was someone who needed to be sectioned, right?
If that's what I said in the statement, then yes.
In other words, somebody who was mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others, right?
Yes.
And that never panned out, right?
No, it didn't.
Because she was shot in the chest and went to the hospital for 53 days, right?
Because she tried to kill me.
Now, I asked you earlier about whether or not you talked to Ms. Fitzsimmons about PTSD type symptoms. You recall that?
No, I don't.
You recall me asking?
Oh, you asked me, yes.
And isn't it true that you went on a call with her in August of 2024 that was a extremely difficult call involving a murder-suicide where the murder was of a baby?
Yes, right? That was horrific.
And you and Kelsey went to that call, right?
With other officers, yes.
And you had shared some texting after that, right?
Yes. I was being a senior officer trying to help out a rookie go through a traumatic event.
And your phone number, I don't want to give out the phone number, but it's fair to say that you... Kelsey had your phone number.
Yes. I think we were all in a group text.
And it's a 978. I'll just leave it there.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And so in that text, you said to Kelsey, relating to your past career, I spiraled down a rabbit hole, a very dark place. This happened years later in my career. We can speak in person about that. I have a guy I've been going to for years, like 10. And when I feel like I'm off, I call him, and all I have to say is, I need a tune-up, and he does me in. Right?
I don't recall that, but if that came from my number, then I had that conversation with her. I don't remember that at all.
All right. May I approach her?
Yeah.
And I apologize, I have to do this on my cell phone. This just came up this morning. I can choke out.
Okay.
May I approach her?
Yes.
So I'm going to show you some of these two screenshots, first of all. First of all, that's a contact, and that's your phone number, and it says Noonan, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so this is the text I want to show you.
Which one? This one right here.
Okay, yeah. And you can scroll up and down if you want, but this is the black part is you, and the blue part is Kelsey, right? You can get some context.
Wait, I'm in blue?
Kelsey's
in blue. Oh, Kelsey's in blue.
And you'd be in black, yeah.
So can I just make an observation? So the you asked the witness about this particular text, about essentially that perhaps he had therapy and needed a tune-up, et cetera.
Yes.
He said his answer was, he basically is not contesting the yes. authenticity of that. So what are we doing?
Well, it's tricky, Judge, where I sit, it's tricky that when a witness says, well, if that's what it says, so I feel like I need to establish that's what it says, that's all.
Okay,
and so,
fair enough.
And I think I can leave it there. Officer, is that what it says? What I suggested?
Yes, it does.
And so we agree that you communicated that to both of
us? Yes.
And we can agree that that's pretty personal stuff
mm-hmm.
to share with somebody that you say that you didn't know very well, isn't it?
Again, senior officer, she's going through a lot. I was just trying to be there for her. And that was one horrific call.
And we agree that that's something that can create a very profound bonding between officers when you have a common tragedy that you have to deal with.
Yes, but you move on. You go back to work.
I want to go back to the bedroom where Kelsey's on the floor mm-hmm. and you stop holding the gun on her. You assist Lieutenant Daly with first aid.
Yes.
Okay. And you were asked by the ADA, what did she say when she was on the floor? Recall that?
I don't remember that.
Yes or no, just the context of being asked that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And see if this refreshes your memory. You said that she said it hurts. She said it hurts. I, meaning you, said, keep breathing. You have a baby to live for.
Yes.
Right? And that was your testimony about what she said and what you said, right?
Yes.
And that was the truth?
Yes.
And that was the whole truth?
Yes.
Now, when you were interviewed by Attorney Bennett of the CIC investigation,
yes,
you painted quite a different picture, didn't you?
No.
You had something to add that made you look good, didn't you?
No.
You said to Attorney Bennett, if I could have one moment, Joe, I just want to get this exactly right. With respect to the CIC report, you did say the part that she was saying it hurt. I told her to just keep breathing. Do you recall that?
Sure.
You have a son. You know you want to be here for your kid. Does that ring a bell?
I didn't hear that last time.
I'm sorry. You have a son. You know you wanted to hear for your kid.
Okay.
You said that to Mr. Bennett?
If it's there, yes.
Then you added something quite memorable that you didn't say here in court. Isn't that correct?
You tell me what's in it. I don't know.
You said that she reached up. She grabbed my hand. I held her hand, consoled her. And then I asked her, why? And she stopped talking and just looked right through me. Death stare.
If it's there, then... Yes, if it's there, that's what I said.
And you didn't say that here in court today, did you?
I didn't remember. I totally forgot about that.
You forgot about something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
I'm sorry. No more? You're done?
Yes.
Okay, redirect.
So I'm going to show you what's from previous and what I have as exhibit number 57. Is that a better picture of that
yes.
area that you put the gun?
Yes.
That Officer Cortica?
Yes.
You also stated just during cross-examination that you knew Ms. Fitzsimmons had been sectioned before.
Correct. That's correct.
And did you know that before the call?
I did.
Okay. And did that factor in into how you were assessing the situation in the house?
Yes.
Did that factor into the team, you, Houston, and Daly, about the fact that you were never going to take your eyes off her?
That's correct.
Okay. Counsel had asked you about the first time you making a statement about what happened was July 3rd, correct?
Yes.
Did you tell anybody what happened before that?
Before?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, sure. I'll say it again. Counsel had asked you whether you had, the first time you made a statement about what happened in the room was July 3rd, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you tell Officer Kaur what happened?
I did.
Did you tell Lieutenant Daly what happened?
I did.
Did you tell Officer Houston what happened?
I did.
What did you say?
I said she tried to shoot me.
Thank you. Nothing else.
Objection, Judge. That's hearsay, and it's, I have a motion to strike.
Okay. It's overruled. Do you have recross?
No, Your Honor.
Just to be clear, I'm not, Mr. Braille, I'm not. I did not allow that last statement in for the truth, just for a state of mind.
Thank you, Your
Honor. All right. And to rehabilitate as well. All right. No further questions for Officer Noonan from either side. I take the silence as a no. Thank you very much. You may step down. And Commonwealth, you can call your next witness.
More coverage of the trial of Kelsey Fitzsimmons is coming up on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.